Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to a special QSO broadcast of Field Day 2009 brought to you by Transworld Antennas. The number to call in from your Field Day location is 615-469-0702. And when you call, your group is qualified for the drawing for the Transworld TW2010 Backpacker Antenna Package, complete with quadrupod and carry bag. Once again, that number is 615-469-0702. And now back to your host, Ted Randall.
I don't even want to think about how far we go back. Hello, Gary. Are you there?
Hey, Ted. How you doing?
Doing good. Here, sitting here. We're down in deep Tennessee, you know, and all the generators here are powered by this distillation of sour mash. And,
okay.
So we've had to keep a vigil and continue checking the fuel for quality. So, yeah.
All right. That's great. And you sip a little and you sip a little more. And
there you go.
How's it doing?
We're doing fine here. Tell me a little bit about your Field Day setup, because I know you've been preparing for Field Day now for a pretty good while.
Well, I want to know if this is a request line.
I don't know. I don't know what line I'm on.
Yeah, we want some requests. Give us a request.
What?
Boyce and Hart, Western Union.
What's that again?
Boyce and Hart, Western Union.
Boyce and Hart. I don't have it by Boyce and Hart. I got Western Union, but who is it by? The Five Americans or something I've got by? I think I've got it by the Five Americans.
Western Union?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Written by Boyce and Hart. Anyway, Field Day. Field Day is going spectacular for us. We got everything up. Nobody got hurt. And we're doing great.
So,
we're sitting here, we had a little refueling outage, and we just got the thing running again so we can hear your radio program. And so I thought I would give you a call.
Well, now, tell me where you folks are set up at this point.
All right. South Lyon, Michigan is northwest of the Detroit area, say about 35, 40 miles. And we are actually in Lyon Township, up on top of a former landfill hill. So we're up nice and high, perfect for tomorrow morning when the thunderstorms come in. And it gives us a very nice vantage point. We've played this site for 5-6 years now, and it plays extremely well.
You know, you're involved with the local club there, and tell me a little bit about your local club. Now, you're the chairman or president, are you not?
I'm the president. Yes.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about your organization, what you guys do, and what you enjoy, and what you're up to.
Well, we have kind of a small club, but there's a few people in here who are interested in building and who like to do they're interested in building and they like to do all kinds of, I'm getting some technical direction here, sorry about that. They like to bring in their projects and demonstrate them. I'm one of those people who's a builder, but we have several other who have some very sophisticated equipment that can make all kinds of measurements and so forth and so on. And we got one fellow, for example, who's exploring balans. I know that seems like a simple thing, but he's trying to understand exactly how balans function and exactly how to make them work. He's got equipment that'll draw Smith charts for him and things of that nature.
I'm going to give you the name of a ham. I don't have his call sign in front of me right now. But if you lose track, just I'll shoot you this in an email. The gentleman's name is Phineas Eisenbice. And I made a telephone call one day and I got the wrong person. I was trying to reach somebody, but instead I got this fella, Phineas Eisenbice. Well, I began to talk to him, and he worked for the Collins Radio Company. He worked for Art Collins. He built the first RF balun ever to be made, period. And he is the section manager of Los Angeles, I think it is, with the American Radio Relay League. But he's in the call book, and he's listed. If you put in there LAX, section manager in Google, his name will come up. And he, being that he invented it, he could tell you, because what it was, him and Art Collins had seen Ballons used for other purposes, but never for RF. I think they were the Ballons primarily for audio purposes, you know. And so they decided they were going to try to do a Ballon for radio frequencies. And Phineas Eisenbeis and Art Collins built the very first RF Ballon, and Phineas actually constructed it and put it into use. Now, I would have never known that if I hadn't talked to the man, you know, but he was really interesting. He also built the very first KWM1 transceiver, which was the first radio transceiver ever built, period. But you should have your guy look him up and give him a phone call. I bet they could get lost on the phone for hours on Ballons, because this guy, you know, he wrote the book. But anyways, I took you way off course. You were talking about Field Day, but I couldn't resist giving you this guy's name.
Well, it's amazing the kind of people you'll meet in ham radio. People from all walks of life who are involved in every endeavor, but then many of them have been involved heavily in radio, such as yourself, broadcasters. People have worked in the back rooms of broadcast stations. We have many ham friends who've done that. There aren't any in the club, unfortunately, but most of us, we just have a small club. We like to do our field day operation. We like to get everything going nicely. And then, you know, just stay prepared for emergency preparedness.
Well, earlier, you were talking about the radio business. I say earlier, I don't know, were you listening when Jim Davis was on by any chance?
I didn't hear him, no.
Jim was
on. Are you talking about, you know, we've had this discussion before. You're talking about the Jim Davis that used to work at CKLW?
Yes, yes, and he's down in Vero Beach, Florida. And he called in, and boy, he was talking about WTTO in Toledo and a whole bunch of stories he was telling and his beginnings of ham radio. So there's a lot of radio people, radio broadcast people, that are in amateur radio. And of course, the Detroit area has got a very rich radio background. I mean, I'm not saying that all parts of the country doesn't, but it has a particularly rich radio background, the stations and stories.
Yeah, you and I know that. It even had radio transmitters that nobody even knew about.
You know, the unlicensed stations, yes. and FCC fellows like Richard Cotton, who could find those stations.
W8DX. Yeah. What a guy.
Yeah. He was, a lot of people, you know, he was not necessarily liked by a lot of folks, but he really, he had a very, very stern exterior, but an extremely soft heart. I can tell you that firsthand. And
he was quite the guy.
All right. Well, listen, you're in South Lyon, and I know that are you surrounded? Are there a lot? I guess I want to ask this question. How many amateur radio clubs are located in your area that you rub elbows with?
They're an awful lot. You know, if you go to that site locator on the ARRL website and you start poking around for field day sites, you're going to find that they are just all over the place. There's, you know, the Livonia Club. There is the Motor City Radio Club. Those are good-sized clubs. There is USICA up in the Macomb County, or, you know, the Macomb County area. There's a lot of them, Ted. A lot of them.
What now? The name of your group again is
South Lyon Area Amateur Radio Club. So it's SLARC. It sounds like you've been sipping generator fuel. SLARC.
Okay.
SLARC. Too many A's.
Well, I want to make sure I got the name filled out on the line, so you guys are in the hat for the drawing for the antenna, because that thing's cool. You set up 2 minutes, you're on the air, you know. And
I don't think I've called a request line in a long time, Ted.
What's that now?
So I don't think I've called a request line in a long time.
Oh, you think this is a request line, huh? Now the song Western Union was recorded by the Five Americans. I knew my
five
memory.
Americans, huh?
My memory was right, but now it could have been written by.
It was written by Boyce and Hart.
It had, you know, it could have been, because they were such. I mean, they wrote all kinds of stuff, and that's about their style. Okay, well, are you Do you have a radio on there handy?
I'm not close to it right now. They directed me away so that there wouldn't be any interference. They're over there listening to it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You give me just a minute here, and you go back to your radio, and we'll make this a request line.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I thank you so much for calling, Gary, and I will talk to you again very soon.
Ted, it's great to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Sure
Take
is.
Take care and have a great weekend.
And you do the same.
All right, 73.
So we're at Field Day 2009. We're live. We're coming to you from Tennessee. Deep in the hills of Tennessee, matter of fact.
Oh, yes, we're having a wonderful time down here. We're right on the beach, and I need a beach so we can see the ocean out to Catalina and all the boats going by. So we have all the antennas up here where people are walking by and asking all about ham radio.
Hi, this is Peter Barber, N6RES from Huntington Beach. He's a KC6 BIA, 97-year-old ham.
But it's a lot of fun going on between people. And it's the radios, it's the fun, it's the fellowship and the friendships that all come together just make it for a very magical weekend.
You are listening to a special QSO broadcast of Field Day 2009, where every year, the pig becomes the endangered species. Get me a barbecue sandwich, please. And now, here is your host, Ted Randall.
That's Five Americans and Western Union, and we've turned it into a request line. Gary Morgan. I went to school with Gary Morgan. We both attended Robichaux High School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. And there's a funny story I could tell you about he and I. We were part of the student council, you see, and he got these guys conned into letting us record all of the 45 RPM records for the school dances. And I went down to Keener 13, and Paul Cannon, the program director, allowed me to put all this stuff on reel to reel. You know, and I don't know, I can't remember what it was, why we wanted to do that, but anyways, he gave these guys a sales pitch and they bought it, you know, so that's what we did. It was a lot of fun. Anyhow, Let's see here. We are. I'm looking at. I believe it's Marty is on the phone. Is this Marty? Hello. It sounds like they're doing something there. Hello, Marty. Are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay. I was going to say, I was beginning to wonder for a minute.
Pardon?
Where are you located, sir?
Utica, New York.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your field day operation.
Well, we're running two stations on emergency power, so we're classified as 2 Alpha, and our section is Western New York. We have 5 operators here. We're all in the middle of a town park. It's been raining off and on, but we're having fun.
So you're out in the middle of the town park, and all the good folks coming out to the park get to see you operate.
Yep.
And
tons of people here.
Okay, and now what is the name of your group?
Utica Amateur Radio Club.
Utica Amateur Radio Club. And about how many members do you folks have?
We have 55 members.
Well, that's a pretty good sized club. And what all are you folks engaged in as the year goes by? What do you all do for fun?
The youngest one is probably in the mid 40s, and the oldest one is 84.
And your activities throughout the year, what do you folks engage in? What do you do?
Well, the number one event coming up July 12th is the Utica Boilermaker. It's a 15K road race, and it's world famous.
And
it
you...
actually ends at a brewery.
Uh-oh.
Well, we do all the checkpoints for first aid and runners that happen to be down. We call it into emergency services.
So now, as part of what you're doing there is providing those folks with communication.
You broke up a little bit there.
I'm sorry? I'm breaking
still
up.
There?
Yeah, I'm still here. Are you having trouble hearing me?
No, I got you.
Oh, okay. Very good. I said, so you provide emergency communications for that event or communications, I guess I should say, for the event itself.
Yep.
And
it's all done by amateurs, and we're there when all else fails.
Well, tell me now, do you folks do any training programs for young people? Do you teach any classes? Are you doing volunteer examinations and that sort of thing?
We do teach classes. Actually, we have some Boy Scouts coming up today for working on their radio merit badge.
Well, very good.
They're going to be here in about 10 minutes.
Well, very good, and they'll have a chance to operate. Do you have a go-to station there?
No, they'll just sit down and run. We didn't have enough stations to do a go-to, to dedicate a person to a go-to station, but in the years past, they have.
So now let me ask you this question.
They will be able to operate when they come up there.
I just, if I sound a little startled, the lights went out in the room here for some reason, and I was just, it just kind of startled me a little bit. Well, now, are you guys, how long are you folks going to be on the air?
Are you on a portable phone?
No, I'm on a digital hybrid. It's a little different than most. Well, the high noise area you're in is probably cutting me out. But listen, yeah. I'll let you go, and I thank you very much for calling. And yeah, we got your name in the hat for the TW Antennas, Transworld Antenna TW2010L Backpacker.
Very good, I appreciate it.
And hopefully, I'll just wish you good luck.
Thanks
hopefully, hopefully you guys will be the ones to win it.
Well, okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. That happens, if you're in a high background area, a lot of noise. It'll cut the other person out. You can't hear them. It's almost like a voice-operated switch, almost like a Vox, you know. So, anyhow, what were we talking about?
Well, I was still stunned by the lights going out, and I don't know. Dave Sparks may have been in the generator fuel or something, but none of the stations went off the air. You know, you guys are fine, but I don't know why the lights went out, and then they came back on, so, I mean... Must be gremlins.
Did they find out what caused the lights to go out?
So you got to talking about those gnomes and fairies and all that stuff.
Gnomes and fairies, yeah. Well, this guy told me, he said, the one fellow that was we did the thing with, on the air, he said that you needed to go to the store and buy these little gnomes and fairies and put them around your house. And you need to leave pennies out for them. They love copper. They love, so you leave the pennies out, you know, and then leave them things out to eat. All these different foods that they supposedly like. You heard it. They were serious. I mean, these guys were just as serious as they could be. And they, you know.
And you interviewed them with a straight face.
What in the world was I going to do? All right. Let's see here. We have...
Hello.
And who have I got on the telephone with me here?
This is Amy Santana here in Puerto Rico, WP3GW. We are doing field day as Kilo Papa 4, Foster Delta.
Well, very good. And tell me a little bit about your setup there, Angel.
Well, we were working here 5 Alpha in Puerto Rico. We are in Centro Recreativo Villa Gergetti, which is the city of Barceloneta, here in the northern part of the island. And we are like 4 groups here. It's a joint effort with 4 groups. We are going to try to work AO-51 in a few minutes. And we are doing some contacts over there in 20 meters. And the funny thing is there's more DX than field station because I think there's no good, the skid has been a little bit, I don't know. But there's more DX than field station. But let's see if later on during the evening we could go 40 meters and work them. Or during the morning. That's our goal, to work more field stations.
Well, I've got to ask you because you're south of the border, so I've got to ask you. Tell me what are you folks going to have as far as your field day cuisine? What are you folks eating during field day today?
Okay, our cuisine today is a specialty that comes from the president of the Federación de Radio Aficionados of Puerto Rico. It's called a zambumbia. And what is a zambumbia? Well, it's like a kind of guiso, a stew with a lot of condiments, potatoes, meat, cilantro. It is something that I still have to taste because the people are tasting it right now because since I'm in charge of filming right now, I haven't had the opportunity. But that's the cuisine that we're doing here. They're sending us white rice over.
Very good. That sounds good. You're doing better than everybody so far that we've talked to. You know, we were getting all these folks that normally do barbecue, and they're not barbecuing this year. They've got the grills out, but they're eating everything else. And then there's some folks that aren't doing anything. So I don't know what's going on here.
Okay. No. Well, that's why this is like a cuisine that was made in a house before. I asked the president if we could do it over here today. It's like a Creole food over here in Puerto Rico. And what we call here normally a sancocho, which is a kind of stew, as I said. But they call it here zambumbia because there are lots and lots of ingredients into it.
Well, very, very good. Let me ask you this question now. Can you tell me a little bit about the activities that your group is involved in throughout the year?
Okay. Well, right now we're doing this in an effort with lots of other amateur radio groups, like 4 of them. Okay. Our effort was to get the call sign over here. I'm going to use the KP4 field day. The letters in other activities. Over here right now, Field Day is the biggest event also here in Puerto Rico. We also do some hand fests during the year. Different groups do some hand fests. There's a weekly reunion in the city of Bayamón from the Movimiento de Radio Aficionados de Puerto Rico. Pretty much repeater activity also. There are many other stations that come out on 80 meters that you can monitor, that you can say hello during the nighttime. We do some pretty much things as in the United States. We are a few, but we try to make our mark in amateur radio and try to project amateur radio here from Puerto Rico to the other countries. That's one of our missions. But we have some activities over here, yes.
Well, very, very good. Well, now what is the name of your club?
Okay, it is a new club. It's the Puerto Rico Field Day Group. And I got a call sign, and we turned that into Vanity. That's Kilo Papa 4, Fossil Delta, which means field day. And we're trying to make some, this is just started this month, I'm going to try to participate as a group apart, but we will, mainly we'll be doing other activities with other groups. That's one of our missions, like the Puerto Rico Ham Amateur Group. They have like a wagon equipped, which they were using right now also here for transmitting for transmission to field day. And their logo is Uniting Amateur Radio. You call them for anything, any activity, they are there. And they're helping us here with the field day. And right now, we're a group here waiting for AO-51 to pass to see if we can make at least one contact for the 100 points over here. Okay.
Well, very, very good. Listen, it's been good hearing from you. We're going to put your name in the hat, your club's name in the hat to win the Trans World Antennas TW2010 Backpacker Antenna. And that thing comes with a quadra stand. It comes with a carry bag. You put it together in about 2 minutes, and it really performs. So it'll be a lot of fun next time you have field day.
Okay. I hope that we have helped letting you know what we do also in Puerto Rico, because maybe you have heard stations, there are some people. But I thank you for calling, because I was going to call you anyway, but I was surprised that I got the call from you. And even though the antenna was a secondary thing, but thanks for putting in the box. But anyway, I thank you also for the opportunity to let know what we do here in Puerto Rico, Ted.
All righty. Well, thank you very, very much. Yeah, what we do is we normally take incoming calls, and then we call folks back, and that way it keeps the lines clear. We can get as many people on the air as possible, and we keep a lot of folks from having to wait on hold. So that's the reason why we do it that way. Well, I thank you much for calling. You have a good field day in 73.
Thank you to all people from the United States. I hope to catch you in the lower bands later on.
All righty. Thank you very much. Well, there you go. Puerto Rico. And we got her name in the hat now. So who knows what might take place here. You're listening to Field Day 2009. And I'm Ted Randall. We're on 9330 and 15420. And the telephone number to call here, if you are wanting to get on the air and put your talk about your field day group and what you folks are doing and everything, the telephone number is 615-469-0702. That's 615-469-0702.
Yes, we're having a wonderful time down here. We're right on the beach, behind the beach, so we can see the ocean out to Catalina and all the boats going by. So we have all three antennas up here where people are walking by and asking all about ham radio.
Hi, this is Peter Barber, N6RES from Huntington Beach. He's a KC6 BIA, 97-year-old ham.
But it's a lot of fun going on between people. And it's the radios, it's the fun, it's the fellowship and the friendships that all come together just make it for a very magical weekend.
You are listening to a special QSO broadcast of Field Day 2009, where every year, the pig becomes the endangered species. Get me a barbecue sandwich, please. And now, here is your host, Ted Randall.
And it's Field Day 2009 as we broadcast live for the festivities. And, of course, our telephone number to call is 615-469-0702. That's 469-0702, area code 615.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah. Get around, round, round, I get around. Where the kids are hip. My buddies and me, you're getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone. I get around. Cause it's never been beat, and we've never missed yet with the girls we meet. None of the guys go steady, cause it wouldn't be right to leave your best girl home on a Saturday night. I get around. Get around, I get around.
can't stand to hear the same old song. And I don't leave the highway long enough to bog down in the mud. 'Cause I've got rambling fever in my blood. I caught this rambling fever long ago, when I first heard a lonesome whistle blow. If someone said I ever gave a damn, they damn sure told you wrong. I've had rambling fever all along. Rambling fever, the kind that can't be measured by degrees. Rambling fever, there ain't no kind of cure for my disease. There's time to knock the bed down on the sofa and let some pretty lady rub my back, and spend the early morning drinking coffee and talking about when I'll be coming back. 'Cause I don't let no woman tie me down, and I'll never get too old to get around. I want to die along the highway and rot away like some old highline pole. Restless rambling fever in my soul. Rambling fever, the kind that can't be measured by degrees. Rambling fever, there ain't no kind of cure for my disease. Yeah.
We're coming to you deep from the hills of Tennessee, where the generators today are powered by the fuel of sour mash still. Get that cigar away from Ted, please. Sour mash still, the fuel of the 2009 Field Day QSO broadcast. And now, here is your host, Ted Randall.
You know, keep that cigar away from me, he says, huh? And we're powered here, boy. I'll tell you what, we got generator power going here, and when you're in the deep south, like right where we are in the hills of Tennessee, these generators require a special type of fuel, of course. And
I haven't told you this, but Jackson County, Tennessee, Gainesboro is the county contiguous to where we are. It is world famous for moonshine. Now you can check us out on the internet. It is worldwide that Jackson County moonshine is the finest that you can find.
Really?
That's why you can't have any of it.
My question is, will the generator run smoother, quieter, and longer?
I don't know about that, but it'll sure be happier.
You got special hazmat people just to handle it.
And who do we have on the phone with us here?
Yeah, Fred Jugley, K-H-U-P-Y-Q. And I thought I'd drop you a couple of stories that present pretty much, amongst other things, kind of feel-good ghost of times past. Stories of a few successes and failures, mostly related to field day. You ready for maybe up to four stories in a row?
Oh, I'm ready. But let me make sure I've got your name down here correctly. I want to know: are you calling? Are you an individual, or are you part of a group or a club?
I'm not in a club right now. I'm just listening to the radio right now. I do have a club story at the end of the four stories about Englewood Amateur Radio Club, if we got time. But
is your name?
Other than that.
Is your name Fred?
Yeah.
Fred, and your last name, Fred?
No, Fred Jodry.
Okay.
J-O-D-R-Y.
All right, and your call sign is?
K-A-2-P-Y-Q.
K-A-2-P-Y-Q. Okay, very, very good. And where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from the bottom of New York State.
Bottom of the state of New York. Very good. Pretty
yeah.
country in that area. Well, tell us your stories. You got some stories to tell.
Yeah, okay. The first one is about the first field day event, one-man event I ever saw. And it's an example of what a field day event shouldn't be. My twin brother joined Ham Radio about a year after me. And like me, when he started out in Ham Radio, he didn't have much success for the exact same reason as I did. But he did try. He has a GF11 transmitter, which is a pair of pentodes driving a pair of output pentodes, VFO job that just pushes a nice handsome output. And his idea of field day was that he borrowed my helicopter's SX-25 receiver on a rainy field day night in maybe 1978 or 79, took it out to the middle of the side yard, put it next to the transmitter, and in hurling rain, he just took two flat pieces of flat sheets of plastic and put them over the transmitter and the receiver on a pair of desks, put a battery underneath, fired up the dyna motor, and started trying to transmit and receive. Well, he wasn't using the battery, which was one of the things that I thought was ludicrous about field day. He ran a long AC line back of the house and then tried this stuff. So he wasn't testing out a portable supply. He was testing things out on AC, which is one of the disqualifiers of trying to do a field day. The other thing was that he made the exact same mistake as I did, which was that he was missing one element of what you should have whenever you set a transmitter and a receiver together. You have the transmitter, the receiver, you have the transmit-receive switch, but you need a frequency spotter. Exact same thing as when I first tried going on the radio. He didn't have the spotter, so he could, in both of our cases, we couldn't get the receiver with the guest within 30 kc on shortwave of what the transmitter was. So trying to transmit and receive what you were transmitting was just completely hopeless. So one of the lessons in radio is, whenever you're trying to work, always have the best frequency spotters you can. Have something that monitors the quality of the signal. Have something that monitors the frequency of the signal. And it isn't the worst thing in the world if you have spares sitting right there next to it. So that was a day and a lesson in field days that was kind of negative. But I thought I'd drop this in on people so that they know how to start in ham radio and how to start in on field day.
Go ahead.
Say again?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. My next field day story is something that's sad and poor and also negative and also a lesson. Back in the 1980s, or maybe 1970s, there was a fellow who's still around, Ed Bolton, WA3PUN, avid radio amateur. And his work on the side was none other than vaudeville-type entertainment. He had been on Johnny Carson and all over the country, sometimes with big bands, sometimes doing his own work. But the star of his show, the star of what he did, was his dog, Lucky, who was a very smart dog who could do tricks. And she was 21 years old. On field day, she got sick. Ed Balkin went to the phone, and there was something wrong with his telephone. He popped on the transmitter immediately in the receiver and started calling for help. It was field day. He called and called and listened and called and listened and called and called and listened, and endless people simply called CQ contest field day, any scores, any this, any that, CQ contest field day. Nobody took the time to pay any attention to the fact that the emergency he was calling on the air was real. A little while later, his dog was dead, and from then on, and his income from then to now, he's still alive, was about $5,000, $10,000 a year less than it used to be. So it was sadness. One of the lessons in ham radio is that field day was the original biggest purpose and proper biggest purpose of field day itself is to practice for emergencies. And one of the things to do about emergencies in ham radio is to understand that an emergency isn't necessarily your own at the time. Somebody calls on the radio, and then their emergency is your emergency. You take the time to believe it. That is a part of amateur radio. That's a part of decency. And if you're the one, who gets to be the amateur radioist, and I've seen it, who gets to call on the air and work the emergency, just like a Boy Scout, your motto is be prepared. At least be as prepared as possible. So that was the end of the second story. Yeah, so let me see. Let's go into something a little brighter. Thought I'd discuss a few technical things when you're building radios and a couple of other things for field day. Here's a couple of preparations. I already covered frequency spotters. I said make oscillators of your own, make frequency monitors of your own, make frequency spotters of your own. Another good thing to have is typically an attenuator on the receiver. One of the easiest ways to coordinate many of the receivers that you build or buy with your transmitter is to use Heathkit's trick of putting a nice turret switch attenuator on your receiver so that in many cases you're not, when the signal gets properly knocked down to size to monitor your transmitter, you're not block overloading your receiver, and hopefully it doesn't go off frequency at all or too much anyway. When you just throw the turret switch, click, 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 down maybe 80 decibels and simply pick up your transmitter on your receiver and don't blow out your receiver on your transmitter. So another neat area of field day is how to put your generator, your power generation, and in the best of shape. One of the decent things is basically efficiency. Why have a generator and motor that's a completely insensible size for the amount of carrying around you're going to do, what your idea of cleanliness and tidiness is, and what your idea of what power you're going to be using is. For instance, one of the things I came up with as an idea on my own, is that when you're setting up a motor and generator, it's a very good idea to have a motor that's just about the smallest size that does the job, and a generator that's just about colossal compared to that motor. One of the advantages of this, you still there and catching this okay, Ted?
I'm catching you just fine there.
Okay. you take your motor and you pick a motor that's just about the smallest size that does the job right, and you pick a generator that's the largest size that's to be just compatible with that motor. One of the advantages of having that big generator with its gigantic fields on it is that it doesn't overheat under heavy load, and with those giant fields working on the generator, it is notorious for being self-regulating as a generator to make the job of a regulator outside the generator almost nil. One thing people are familiar with that you generate their own power if they have a motor and a generator, run heavy wires to the house, and maybe they have their refrigerator turning on and off, and they see the lights, the radio, et cetera, getting much brighter, much dimmer, and they put in heavier and heavier wires and try and beef up the regulator, and it is not easy to try and keep the power, to keep the electrical voltage in a good regulation. If you put in a generator that's just about colossal for the job and put in a very nice motor speed, get the speed regulator on the motor in top shape, you'll find that the generator all by itself will do nearly all the job it's supposed to. The generator will only go down about 5 volts when it gets hit by a heavy load. Plus, it will be running high efficiency when you put on a very heavy maximum load because it's a generator. Plus, one of the advantages of putting a big generator on your motor is that when you take the load off the motor, some motors are old and tired enough that if they have no load on the motor just about, the rings of the motor will get a serious blow-by problem, and the motor will start biffing and spitting and coughing and blowing oil out the muffler and so on. And keeping a slight load on the motor and keeping the spark retarded to the proper spot keeps the motor running more steady and efficiently. So there's something that my grandfather worked on cars and similar motor vehicles for. Their spread of history was about 86 years, and I inherited most of the mechanicking knowledge of him. I picked up that on motors. You try a big generator next to the motor will keep a steadier load on it and make it run more efficiently, even when the motor is turning old.
Well, I thank you very, very much. And once again, you're on the southern edges of New York there, and are you doing anything for Field Day, or are you just listening at this point?
I'm just listening.
Don't have the
best QTH right now. Don't have all the right equipment going. So I thought I'd just listen, drop people nice hints and stuff like that. You want one or two more, or you want to pop on the phone for anyone else?
We're kind of running short of time, but I really appreciate you calling in, sir, and look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
Okay. 73. I'll have more. The sooner I get off, the sooner I'm back.
Okay. All right. Bye. Bye-bye.
1 minute to auto-destruct.
We're coming to you deep from the hills of Tennessee, where the generators today are powered by the fuel of sour mash still. Get that cigar away from Ted, please. Sour Mash Still, the fuel of the 2009 Field Day QSO broadcast. And now, here is your host, Ted Randall.
Singing song of the South. Sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth.
South, sweet potato pie, and shut my mouth. Song of the South, sweet potato pie, and shut my mouth.
Singing,
song of the South, sweet potato pie.
Memorial Day 2009. That's where we are right now, and we're broadcasting live. We are coming to you from just outside of Cookeville, Tennessee, the headquarters of Trans World Antennas. And with us on the telephone is, I believe, is Joey. Is that correct? And I'm not. There's nobody there.
Hello.
Hello. Are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, not too well. My name is Jerry Grant, down in West Palm Beach.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I said Joey, but evidently I've been around this generator fuel too much today. Is what it amounts to, I guess.
I've been around generator fumes all day myself.
Well, see, yeah, but the only problem is here in the South. The generator fuel we get is made out of sour mash, you know, so it's...
Sour mash, that's pretty good, man. Unfortunately, most of the guys I have here, they don't drink, so we don't have sour mash. But we've got a pretty good group out here this afternoon from both the West Palm Beach Amateur Radio Club and the Palms West Amateur Radio Club. We decided to do the field day together this year, and it's working out really, really well.
All righty. Well, tell me a little bit about your setup, what you're doing, and how many stations you've got on the air, and the operators.
Well, we've got three stations right now. Actually, we've got a few more, but we're calling ourselves a 3A station. We're in the park outside of Wellington, Florida, called Okeehealy Park. And we were fortunate enough to get a pavilion up about 15, 20 feet. So the 15 to 20 feet that were up on the slight rise, plus the antennas we got, we're shooting some pretty good signals here. We've got a motorhome we brought with us that's got a dipole. I'm trying to think. It looks like it's about 40 feet. And we're working both 15 and 10 meters. We've got some CW in there. We've had a little problem with our 20 meters only because there's some one of the guys is on a go-to station. Has got a 40. He's working 40 meters. And apparently, there's a little bit of a problem with the 40 meters and the 20 meters. But we've had quite a few contacts already today. Like I said, we're very, very, very pleased at the results we've had so far.
Okay, so you've combined two radio clubs for field day, is what you're saying, basically.
Right. Since a lot of us belong to both clubs, it's kind of crazy for us. So I'm going to go to the West Palm Beach Club, and a few others will go to the Palms West. So, I belong to two. Most of the guys belong to two organizations. So we decided, like I said, this time to do it together. It's worked out very, very well.
So now, do you have any other groups close by in your area there?
Yeah, there's in Wellington, Florida. They've got a group out here, the Wellington Radio Club, and they're meeting in the EOC of Wellington. And our attitude is that we'd rather be out in the field working on generators as though it was a real emergency. And I think that's what field day is really for.
Okay, now let me ask you this question, and that is, how many members do you think are in each club individually?
I'd say 25 or 30 in one, probably 30 in the other, probably 65 people. There's actually a lot of duplication, but I'd say altogether 50 people in the two clubs. So rather than working up opposite each other, we just work together.
That is an excellent idea. Well, tell me a little bit about your activities that go on throughout the year, different things that you folks are involved in.
Well, I'm the secretary treasurer of the West Palm Beach Club. We've had kit making for the members. We've had quite a few our own miniature field days. We'll go out near a lake. We'll go out there in a park and just go ahead and just half a dozen or a dozen of the guys will get together. Spend the day out there and try and make as many contacts as we can. The two organizations, today we had the mentors, the Jewish Family Services sent their kids, the mentees, and some of the Boy Scouts came up here today also. We let everybody know that that will be a kit building for the children. Another fellow myself bought the kits. The kids are making little crystal radios. The mayor of Wellington came out. A local judge came out. We invited a couple other politicians, but unfortunately couldn't make it today. The clubs are pretty active year-round, not just a meeting and go home, but a meeting and a presentation. We've seen nice growth. There was a couple of years ago, it was stagnating. we see quite a few new members, especially some of these CERT members. They're not going for the general license as well. In fact, right here now at dinner, there's probably about six or seven members of the CERT, local CERT organizations. They're here also having dinner with us and talking on the radio, the GOTA station.
I'm right here. I was wondering about the, with the group activities that you have, when you have your local meetings, I've asked this to a lot of people today because I'm real curious about this, and this is a gauge, I think, for a lot of clubs, and that is how many people show up for your monthly meetings, and then what kind of activities do you have at the monthly meeting? What do you have to draw the people back in?
We always have a presentation, whether it's we've had everything from grounding our stations. We've had presentations from D-Star. I'm fairly new to the hobby myself. I mean, just that I've never had an experience with radio. But every month, the clubs have some kind of presentation, both Palms West and our club, West Palm Beach.
Yeah, you know, because I guess I want to say is I see a lot of amateur radio.
You're coming in very poorly here.
Okay, well, it's probably something having to do with the telephone circuit. I was going to say I've seen so many groups that they don't seem to be able to hold a large number for the meetings each month, and they may have a larger membership, I should say, but they. The actual club meetings, there's not that many folks show up, and they have a hard time seeming to get the people out. So when I hear somebody that sounds like you're doing really...
I'm having a problem hearing you, but if you ask me how many people come to the average monthly meetings, at Palms West, we'd probably see 30 to 35 come to the monthly meeting. West Palm Beach, probably 25 to 30.
And do you do any fox hunts or transmitter hunts or those types of things?
I'm sorry, you just broke up on me here. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're having some problems with this connection.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
And I don't know.
I've lost your voice here.
Voice over IP. Yeah. All right. Well, have a good one, sir. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I'm just having a problem hearing you here.
All right.
Have a good day now.
Thank you. And who knows what that was all about. That's it. That's the wonders of voice over IP. Sometimes it's just not. They're just not. It doesn't work. It'll work a little bit, and then it won't. 2009. It's Field Day, and we are live, and we are at the headquarters of Trans World Antennas. And of course, if you want to call in and give us a report from your Field Day location, let me give you the phone number. It's area code 615, and the phone number is 469-0702. That's area code 615-469-0702, and we'd love to hear from you. Find out what your club's up to, what you're doing, and I guess what your cuisine is, what you're cooking, you know, and how many antennas you got up and all that sort of thing. We'd love to hear from you. 615-469-0702 is the telephone number to call.